Oh, morning, Helen.
Good morning.
I want to thank Mary, Steph, and Michelle for yesterday. So could you send them each a bottle of champagne?
Oh, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, me neither. Champagne problems, am I right? Wait, is that what that means?
I don't know.
Me neither.
TBTL.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
So what if I smell like roast beef? This whole place smells like roast beef.
I'm sorry, but when I hear an undeserved compliment, it makes my ears want to throw up.
Oh, your ears are always throwing up about something.
Maybe he saw his reflection and thought, I'm flying in hot for that hottie.
We'll walk that fine line between cutting edge irreverence and trouble with the Federal Communications Commission.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome everybody to a Friday edition of TBTL.
No.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live. My name is Luke Burbank, I'm your host.
I'm an activist and house party enthusiast.
A little trouble there at the top of the program. I went to hit my special bell. I was so excited to be home. Honestly, pretty much so I can hit this bell that has the resonance that I enjoy. And then I hit it wrong. I muted it. And I was like, come on. I've been waiting all day for Friday morning. I was all excited to make this beautiful sound. And then I made this sound. And it was not a good feeling at all. But let's put that behind us and focus on episode 3013 in a collector series. Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. It is a windy and rainy day here. And I have to be honest, when I get home from a trip, like I just did, and I survey the landscape of Burbank Springs, and by that I just mean the lawn, and it's covered in branches and pine needles from all the tall trees that my various neighbors have, I feel mildly resentful. I feel like saying to some of the residents of Alabama Hill, come on over and pick up your plant trash, because it's all over my yard. Then I look up and I yell at the clouds, and then I take a nap at 2 p.m. because I'm a very, very old man. Anyway, now that I got that out of my system, I'm ready to do the show. Let's let the fun begin. Hey, we have a fun show for you on this Friday. One of our good friends, our blogger emeritus, the Stewbot, is going to stop by.
Simmer down, Stu.
We may need to simmer Stu up, because it's been a rough couple weeks in the Minnesota sports scene, specifically the Minnesota Twins baseball team. So we'll try to cheer him up about that, and then he'll cheer all of us up with suggesting some music for your weekend, because he's real good at knowing about music. Also in North Carolina, a crazy story about a Sasquatch statue.
Sasquatches are real. They're very freaky.
That went missing from a landscaping company and then showed up in a very odd place is now being watched by the police department in North Carolina. We'll tell you what's going on with that. Also, another day, another lie from the internet. I read a headline. I was so excited by it that I thought, we've got our top story. It was about a guy that finally spoke truth to power during Wheel of Fortune, which is to say, described himself as being in a loveless marriage when he was asked about his family structure. And I was like, the headlines were, man talks about loveless marriage on Wheel of Fortune. Well, of course, the internet was basically lying.
Welcome to the internet.
Can never trust it again. So we will maybe get to that, time permitting. You know, one other thing that we've been able to establish?
It's not my birthday.
It's not Andrew's birthday, but guess what? It's Rudy's 6th birthday today.
I'll say, what's up, dog?
Raising the question, how do you celebrate a dog's birthday? And more importantly, should you celebrate a dog's birthday? Because Carrie's at work, and she said, well, maybe you guys can do something special this afternoon. And I was thinking, like,
that's my wife.
Okay, what does that mean? I bake a cake made out of ground beef and leave it on the ground. What do you do for a dog's 6th birthday? Hey, speaking of Andrew, the ageless one, the handsome young stranger, the man known far and wide to probably be smarter than a blob in France. He's joining me right now.
Ooh.
From the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. He's also the longest running cobra of the show. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. I have a short, gross story for you. So
I thought that I was getting a big, like, once every couple of year sized pimple right in the center of my forehead yesterday. The kind where it's like you start to feel it before it even shows itself, and then it presents itself, and it's just, it's painful. It's painful to look at. You can see it from across the room. I went to bed last night. Hey, I thought maybe it'll go, you know, maybe it'll go away as I sleep. I, you know, wash my face a lot, use those oxy pads or whatever. And then I woke up this morning and I realized it's not a pimple. I think I'm growing a unicorn horn right out of the center of my head. So it went from being kind of gross and embarrassing to I'm, you know, a special unicorn boy.
You may be able to make some money on the sideshow circuit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like a real financial opportunity for you.
I will exploit myself. I will start sleeping in a cage upon newspapers. I don't really know how you treat a unicorn when you take a unicorn boy out on the road in your traveling circus.
Are you trying to push your new nickname of Unicorn Boy? Yeah. And have you created merch over at Zazzle that you've already got ready to go? Is this a scam you're trying to run?
There were some copyright issues, apparently. But
if you want to talk about skin problems, you've come to the right 43-year-old man.
I thought I might have.
I went down a whole skincare rabbit hole, and I've been exfoliating, I've been putting drying agents on my face. And it's working.
In the words
of Coolio, it's working. So at the boat show, listener Jay kind of casually and as subtly as she could slipped me a couple of facial products. One is I guess you would call it sort of an exfoliator. It's something that has salic acid in it. And I think it's called Tough Love, which is kind of a clever name because it's a little burny. And then she gave me this drying. This is like the exact look and consistency of Pepto-Bismol and color of Pepto, Andrew. Mm-hmm. But it is I'm going to try to see if I can find the exact name of the product on the fly here. Because I hadn't heard of it before. But anyway, listener Jay slipped this thing to me. Oh, it's called a Badescu, Mario Badescu skincare. And she said, this is great. You should use this. Maybe that night, or maybe it was the next night, I washed my face. I put the Tough Love salic acid facial cleaner on, dabbed the Badescu drying agent on my pimples. And I'll tell you, man, she was not lying. Really, really helped out. And I realized I have not washed my face before bed in 25 years. When I was a teenager, it was constant because I had bad skin. And then I stopped doing it because it wasn't an issue. And then something has changed hormonally for me. I might need to talk to Dr. Arakaki, who, side note, Walsh, I heard him last night on the radio in Portland. He's not just a Seattle guy. Did you realize that?
No, although I guess I'm not as surprised as you are. I assume he's still regional, though, right? Or is he a national guy who's got a bunch of clinics across the country?
He's more of a Utica thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I assumed that he was just some guy probably in, like, Bellevue doing his thing, but he's got some presence in Portland. Excuse me, let me take another sip of Ithaca Coffee Company. Ithaca.
Don't drink the zit
cream. Is gorgeous coffee, which I'm having right now. Thanks, listener Megan, for bringing that coffee to the New York event. I brought it home. I'm tasting the notes, Andrew, I'll mention, because, of course, I don't have milk in this. It's a sweet, vibrant blend of both natural and wet-hulled coffees from Ethiopia and Indonesia. Citrusy chocolate flavors with a creamy medium body paired with a red apple acidity. That's exactly how I would have described it, 100%.
I just realized we got to do more live shows, not for any reason other than all the free stuff we get. You're drinking the coffee that we got in New York. I'm drinking from the coffee cup the same listener Jay gave me. It's got a picture of a possum on it, and it says "Every day is trash day." It's my new favorite mug.
My skin has never been more pimple free, at least in the last 4 months. But of course, let me just mention this, and then we can wrap this silly story up. Of course, because I can't. Like, so listener Jay gave me this vial of this vial. That sounds bad. This like small container of this drying agent. And it worked so great that, of course, my thought was I also need a travel kit of this because that's how burbs do. So I went on Amazon and I bought just like a, I don't know what it's called, like acne care kit from the same company. Little did I know, it would arrive at my house in an oversized faux leather green purse.
Hmm?
That says Mario Badescu on the side of it. Like very gaudy, very kind of like you might see someone in Russia carrying this purse out of a nightclub. Very like sort of, again, just imagine green fake leather large purse that I'm supposed to carry my Zitcare product in.
I see. Because you thought it, you didn't see what the, you knew you were getting a travel size
it didn't
or travel
even say,
set.
It just said, yeah, basically it was like the travel set of this thing. It didn't say anything about the container it would be in. I just thought they meant the sizes. I wanted to make sure they didn't confiscate it at TSA because it's like not cheap. So I got the stuff to get, so I ordered the stuff and then little did I know it would come in a very, actually I would say if I, you know, if I used purses, it's kind of a cute purse, but very kind of big and fake leather.
Does it, is it, it is cute though? It's good looking?
Well, I don't know. I gave it to Goodwill. So
oh, okay. Gotcha.
If you want it, there's a Mario Badescu green purse that may still be available at the local Goodwill here in the Bellingham area.
I was thinking about you when I was
thank you.
Growing my, well, just wait for me to finish this sentence.
Oh, okay, yeah. I do that sometimes.
Because I actually am, I am tiptoeing.
I thought that was the end of the sentence.
I was, you know what? Maybe it should be. You want to take a break? No, it's not bad, but I want to be gentle because I don't want to, I'm not trying to neg you here. But you and I had a conversation a long, long time ago. A long, long time ago.
I had the thought, Andrew, but I didn't do it.
But I'm going for it more, Luke.
I like it.
You said something once that really stuck with me that I wonder if I exaggerated my brain too much. But as I was growing my unicorn horn yesterday and thinking a lot about it, I was thinking about you because you were, you know, I know that you struggled with acne as an adolescent and you've been talking a lot about how it's kind of been coming back for you. And I was thinking about this thing that you said once, which is that you didn't really love taking showers growing up and you still don't really like it and you don't like getting your face wet and that you used to try to keep your face dry in the shower. Do you remember telling me that? And is that still true?
Yeah.
And could these things be related?
Well, I mean, maybe, although the thing is, if it were related, I would have been having pimples from age 17 till now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't because it's hormonal. It's not. It's not that there's just like I'm not like an extra from the movie Angela's Ashes with like, you know, dirt smudged on my little face and that's creating pimples. It's just it totally has to do with biochemistry and with hormones. And but I will tell you this: in using cleaning products that very much keep the pores open, I think it's helping cut down on the occurrence for me. So it's sort of like a two-pronged thing. Something changed in my body, which I'm still trying to figure out, to where my skin is predisposed to now want to break out again. And the I'm going to call it an astringent, although that might not be the technical name for it. Whatever it is I've been using from listener Jay, that's actually working and helping. But there was a period of time where I didn't even need to do that because my body, everything was in line and fine. So to answer your question, number one, I am deeply offended, and this is the last show that I'll be doing with you. So I guess find Christy Turlington or someone else to do the show with, someone with flawless skin. Some Julia Stiles type.
I couldn't figure out at first why you chose her. All right, so, okay, so this is the last show you're doing with me, but you're not kicking me off of your show that you created.
No,
you're leaving
the
show.
I'm replacing myself with someone who's been in a Ponds ad.
But it's got to be somebody with clear skin who isn't afraid of getting their face wet.
Somebody who's been in a TV commercial where they splash very clear water on their face.
Oh, right.
In slow-mo.
Like a Lubriderm commercial where the water
Yeah, or like a pond. That for some reason reminds me very much of Ponds.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Products.
Well, you know
so
what?
That's, no, I just want – it's clear to me that you need to work with someone who has better skin than me, and that's fine. I respect that.
Definitely true. I've been thinking that for a while, and it's kind of it's almost freeing to get it out there. Last thing on this is – this is not a joke either. Obviously, I got this thing growing out of the center of my head, and I'm just somewhat obsessed with it, and I opened up the refrigerator this morning to grab my water bottle, and I saw the second bottle of Squirt that's in there. Remember, I bought famously now.
Who can forget?
Who can forget the great Squirt stories of earlier this week? But remember, I bought two bottles of Squirt. I don't drink soda all that often. I drank one of the bottles. The other one is still in there. And then I looked at that Squirt, and I was like, was it you? Was it the Squirt? Was it the sugar in the Squirt that gave me this?
I think that's a... I think that's mostly a kind of old wives' tale.
I agree. Like, I don't think it was the Squirt.
Probably, like, maybe eating excessively oily things when you're a teenager could kind of clog your skin up, or maybe certain people have allergic reactions. But, I mean, that's the other thing. I spent so much of my teen years not really avoiding products, but being told by people, you got to stop eating chocolate. And I was like, how much chocolate do you think I'm eating? Mm-hmm. This is just my skin is doing a thing right now. So I don't blame the Squirt, but I will be submitting my resignation. So that's kind of, I think, the big takeaway from today's show is you deserve a co-host who is, you know, just has much more flawless skin. Again, Turlington, you know, who is the
supermodel that you brought up on the show the other day that I hadn't heard her name since?
Claudia Schiffer.
Yeah, Claudia Schiffer. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure her skin is still probably
Rebecca
good.
Gayhart before she got into some trubs.
I don't know who that is. Is that an actress?
Yeah. She did a turn. She was the Noxema girl. She got very famous for being the Noxema girl.
Yeah.
And then had other work. She was kind of like pretty famous. And then she unfortunately was in a car accident. Somebody passed away. And so then she sort of moved off of everybody's radar. Something happened last night when we were doing LiveWire. This is so not on the plan of things to talk about, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. And we should take a break. So this is, I only need 10 seconds of reaction from you on this, but the band
okay,
that we had
I'll
on
keep it to 10.
Yeah, I need a tight 10 seconds on this. The band that I was just on the subject of, like, I almost didn't make the Rebecca Gayhart reference, even though she was the Noxema girl. The Noxema girl was like the most relevant. She was like the most relevant person I could pull up from 30 years ago. But also I remembered that she hit someone with her car and that person died. And then that's why, like, she didn't get to be famous anymore or whatever. And on the subject of, like, who and what we reference. So the band that was on LiveWire last night, there was a blurb about them that said their music had been compared to a band, Red House Painters, and Ryan Adams and Bon Iver. And so when I introduced them on stage, I just left out the Ryan Adams part because I was like, I think everyone's always suspected Ryan Adams was not the nicest guy to hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I mean, there seems to be some allegations that he's more than just not a nice guy, that he's a creep or whatever. So I, like, omitted Ryan Adams from the people that this music had been compared to, even though no one was comparing them to, like,
right,
Ryan Adams on a personal level. They were just saying the music sounds similar. And I wonder if I was being overly cautious. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the musician came out and said, you forgot to mention the Ryan Adams thing.
No, that would have been
hilarious.
Ixnay on the Adams Ray.
This has come up on the show before. Ryan Adams is such a goddamn blind spot for me. And I know, like, out of a world of blind spots, how can you even spot the blind spot for me anymore? But I always have a vague – I feel like every time I come across Ryan Adams in an article or something, I have to then go back and remind myself because I get him confused with who is – shoot. This is the worst. Who I'm not keeping this to 10 seconds, clearly. Who's the who is the musician who's married to the model who's really big on social media? Her name is Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, Chrissy Teigen. Who's John Legend?
John Legend. I like those two guys. Like, I just think that there's, like, a certain kind of, like, I assume blue jean wearing rocker type out there. There's like two or three or four of these guys.
Is that what you think John Legend plays?
I don't know what any of them do. I just, for some reason,
John Legend plays piano and sings songs like All of Me Loves All of You. And Ryan Adams is a kind of an indie darling.
Okay. And he was the one who was like kind of, well, never mind. He's come up in various things.
I'm actually surprised.
I can't keep those guys straight for some reason. I don't know why.
of all the people that I would expect you to confuse Ryan Adams with, I would not have put John Legend at the top of the list. But that's why I know you're telling the truth. Because if this were a lie, you would not have picked John Legend. This is genuinely what's going on in your brain.
Yes, I don't know. And it's not even like – there's no reason why I would confuse them other than – I guess the only thing – there's a group of male musicians that seem to be – famous that everybody knows at least something by them that I can't name anything by them. I just don't know anything about them. And then when they come up in a story, I can't tell who's
It's surprising to me just because he – maybe it's because you don't really – I don't get the sense you go in for a lot of country-ish stuff. And Ryan Adams kind of – he was in this band Whiskey Town that I liked a lot. And he's kind of got his – his initial cred was in like indie country music, if you will, or whatever. But –
Can I ask you one quick question? Is he the guy there? You know, I wasn't a huge Strokes fan, but I did, you know, I started listening to them a little bit once I got to know you. And there's that one album. Is This It? Is that the name of the record?
Yes.
And I really do love that record.
In fact, the answer is yes. It is that.
And I came to that really, really late. So I don't even really know much about the Strokes. But I remember when there was some sort of like kind of expose interview. It was like an oral history of that Strokes record. And there was a musician in it who was like a real kind of jerk character, real heel character. Was that Ryan Adams?
I think that was, oh man, now I don't want to slander anyone, but I feel like it was, I think Ryan Adams comes up in that piece as being unpleasant. And I also want to say there's another guitar hero. There's another musician, and it might have been John Mayer. There was somebody who kept coming over and wanting to hang out with the Strokes, and they were not feeling it in that oral history. And I don't know if that was Ryan Adams or that was an additional person.
That John Mayer, Ryan Adams. There's a difference between those guys. See?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But those guys are much more – I mean, honestly, the funny part about Ryan Adams is the whole joke on him has been people confusing him with Bryan Adams, the Canadian Summer of 69 rocker.
I know him.
But – all of this is to say, or all of this is to ask, Andrew.
Yeah, sorry.
Like, if you were introducing someone, if you were hosting a radio show, and you would say, like, their films have been compared to Fellini and Godard and Woody Allen.
Right.
Would you leave the Woody Allen part out because of how toxic Woody Allen is now?
I might, but I think that's a more specific example because I think people more so – I mean, I think that Woody Allen more broadly is a more – like because of the stories and what we now know about him. I feel like it's kind of more broadly known. But maybe Ryan Adams is more broadly known too. And yeah, God, I'm sorry. It's John Mayer and Ryan Adams. That's a huge one for me. Like I just – I'm kind of a – I know that this is ridiculous. I swear I'm not overplaying it. But, yeah, I always forget that those two people are different people. I just think they're the same. So, for me, if you said – if you compared somebody to Ryan Adams, obviously I wouldn't be like, oh, that problematic person. I would just be like, don't make fun of John Legend. I don't know. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I'm glad
you could
we got
not have asked out. A wrong – a more ill-equipped
it's
person that question.
Though. No, I love it though because it's like again, I know you're being totally genuine, and I'm not saying this with any sarcasm or scorn or judgment.
Laughable.
I think it's hilarious because that is very obviously your actual reaction to that, and your real response because in a million years, if you just like stood John Legend next to Ryan Adams, just every single aspect of their existence is different.
I think it's
like
the John
one guy is a
thing. I think it's the
one
mayor.
Dude is a diminutive African American singer who croons and sings lovely songs that people play for anniversaries, and one guy is like a pasty white guy who wears jean jackets and plays guitars and had a drinking problem and plays country music. I mean, you couldn't pull two more different.
I think that
names out of the hat.
What I need to do, so I don't think I'm ever going to get the Ryan Adams / John Mayer thing. Let's save
that
for another day because I thought they were all white, like white blue jeans wearing guys who like to rock. So clearly,
John Legend.
What's happened
is
John. I don't know anything about John Legend. I only know the name. So. Essentially, I need to get John Legend out of him. That's one thing that I think is manageable for my broken brain. I can get him out of there. I'll remember. Hopefully, I will now remember this conversation. And I guess the solution would be for me to familiarize myself with their music. I don't think I'm going to go in for the other guys, but maybe I should listen to some John Legend. Would I like it? Do you think?
I find John Legend's music to be nice. I find it to be totally inoffensive. Mm-hmm. If it's on, I'm not going to change the channel. It's also not like the top of my list of things that I would play. Okay. I'm more of a John Mayer guy myself.
Okay.
You know, Your Body is a Wonderland or your Red Wine and Ambien, You're Talking Shit Again. You know, classic lyrics like right. that. I'm more of a Mayer head.
Okay. We're going to bump back. We should take this break. It's my fault. I did not keep that. Did I keep that reaction to 10 seconds as instructed?
You went 14 seconds. But it's okay.
Dang it. I'm sorry. Almost double. Okay. We're going to bump back with a John Legend song. We'll choose it during the break.
A John Legend song. Okay.
Yeah. He's the one that I'm supposed to. He's the one that
he's the Owl of Gahool.
He's the one who is not should not be clumped in with these other guys.
Well, again, they might. Who knows? Maybe they're all friends. Maybe they have a secret clubhouse they meet in called the Andy Hater Society, where they all make music, but at a frequency that you're not able to hear. Yeah. It's very possible. But as far as genre, I would not ever group those folks together as far as their musical styles. But this is good. No, let's. I'll also be learning something about John Legend because I don't know a ton about his music other than that one song that I just sang. So let's do that. Let's take a quick break. Let's come back with some John Legend. Let's do some top stories. Let's talk to the Stewbot. And then let's slide down that dinosaur towards the weekend, everybody. Coming up in a moment on TBTL. This is my favorite Macklemore song. What are we hearing?
This is Jeff Lynne, you're saying?
Yes. How old would you say he is?
I was just trying to think of another white guy who probably wears blue jeans. So this is John Legend, but I threw a layer of complication over top of this. His most popular song, clearly far and above, is a song called All of Me. But less popular is the All of Me Tiësto's Birthday Treatment remix, which is what we're listening to now.
Oh, hell yeah. Happy birthday, Tiësto.
Happy birthday, Rudy. This is for Rudy.
Yes, thank you. Way to bring it back around. Happy 6th birthday to our little dog. I don't know how Carrie actually even knows that information. I don't know if the breeder... Did you hear how the word breeder got stuck in my stuck in my throat because that's so not done anymore? You're public enemy number one if you get the dog from a person who breeds dogs. But anyway, I don't know if where we got the dog.
Oh, wait. Hold on. That mm-hmm. doesn't work in that case.
Yeah. No, we really, really, honestly, she breeds us more than we breed her. The friends that we bred along the way were us. What? I don't know. But I don't know how Carrie even knows. I don't know that this is her birthday. Maybe it's on some form somewhere. But I am a little – we can just talk about this now. This isn't to literally be in the – in fact, it's disrespectful to top stories. And it's disrespectful to creativity if we make this a top story. But what should I do? Or what does Kanye say? It's disrespectful to. Is that what he says?
I'm more of a John Legend guy.
You're disrespectful to inspiration.
It's disrespectful to inspiration for us to actually make this a top story. So I'll just ask you now, what do you celebrate the cat's birthdays?
Oh, hell no. I don't know when the cat's birthdays are, but I saw on the show sheet that this is something that you're thinking about, and I will, because you posed it as a question, Jeopardy style. Is it mm-hmm. silly to celebrate a dog's birthday? And I was thinking about this as I was puttering around this morning, because I don't want to, no joke, whether it's you or anybody else out there, I don't want to judge. I think people should, you know, you have your own individual relationship with your pets and you should do whatever works for you and your pets, I guess, as far as this is concerned. But I'm a sentimental guy. I'm actually quite a sentimental guy, but I'm also not a guy who goes in for anything that is kind of performative. Mm-hmm. How those live shows go, by the way. But I don't go in for like kind of birthday parties and any, you know, and even holidays and stuff.
Public
I really,
proposals.
Yeah, I downplay
things like
all
that. It's not your style.
So if I had a dog like Rudy and I knew the actual, like, if we had a birthday or maybe it would be like the anniversary of when the dog came into my life, you know, however that would work. Chances are I wouldn't even know the date, but if somebody told me the date, I probably would be reflective. I would reflect on my pooch. And, you know, that's one thing, not to be macabre, but as Theo shows his age more and more, my cat who's now 18 going on 19, he's really showing his age now, as we've discussed on the show. And so because of that, you know, I'm not trying to spend Theo's last years just thinking past him or what it's going to be like when he dies. But it's hard not to both think about the fact that my time with him is certainly shorter now than it was at one point. And also that leads to thoughts about when he was a little kitten and when he came into my life and the things that he used to do that he doesn't do anymore because he's old. And so, I mean, I would certainly, if I had a dog like Rudy, I would could see myself going on a walk and, you know, but it would be a very kind of private thing. It would be something that I would probably be marking. I don't think that I would go for like the, we're throwing a doggy birthday party and we're going to Instagram it with little doggy party hats and a meatloaf cake or whatever. Although
shit,
I would eat,
that was my
I would
whole
eat a
plan.
Meatloaf cake probably.
Well, that's the thing is like she doesn't understand it's her birthday. And I was thinking on the flight up here, I was trying to think of what I could do for her. And I thought the only thing that gives her happiness in life is to eat.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally
and
her
be
only
petted.
Joy.
She likes to snuggle.
Medium. I was specifically thinking about that one thing, Andrew. She does. If you come over, she comes up and she's like wagging her tail and stuff. But she really kind of just wants you to chase her or something. Like, she's not a dog who revels in cuddling. Or being petted, really. What she wants is to make contact with people who might have food somewhere on their person. That's kind of her driving thing. Like, so the only, because I was thinking of what could we do? We could go, I could set up an obstacle course for her in the house. I could get her a hat. I could make her a sign and put some balloons up. None of that would mean anything to her.
Green travel bag. That's very fashionable.
Yeah. Ah, shit. I just had one of those. Like, there's, get her a John Legend CD. Tiesto's birthday
guitar rock?
Jam.
She's into guitar rock? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Big guitar rock head. Okay. So it's like there's the only thing that would make her – that she would actually enjoy on her birthday would just be getting to eat a bunch of food. But she wouldn't even understand why it was happening. She would just be like, cool. I'm eating way more food than normal. I'm getting way more treats. But then the issue with that is, one, it's not healthy for her because we're trying to keep her from getting large. And she's kind of putting some weight back on. But the other thing is, if she – like she was having her eyes were – she was having allergies basically. So her eyes were kind of red. So I went to the vet and we got her this gunk that I had to put in her eyes in the morning. And she loved it because she also got a treat for sitting still while I was putting the gunk in her eyes. So for up until probably 2 or 3 days ago, literally for a solid month, every morning after she ate her breakfast, she would sit in the kitchen waiting to get medicine put in her eyes so she could get her peanut butter in a cup that she would eat as a treat. So anything good that happens to her in the food department, she's like, well, this is the new reality. And then she's bummed when – like if I were to make her or buy her a bunch of treats today and distribute them around the house, it would be great for her for today. Tomorrow she'll be devastated because – it won't be her birthday anymore. And she'll be like, I thought the new thing was tons of meatloaf.
Yeah, then if that's the case, then I think even more so, dogs don't know what birthdays mean. And if you can't do anything for the dog that will feel special, that doesn't come back to, you know, actually kind of hurt her or hurt her feelings later, then really it's a day for you, I think.
I immediately thought of putting a birthday hat on her. I know you were joking, but I wasn't. I immediately thought of putting a birthday hat on her and taking a picture and sending it to Carrie because it would be funny. But then my second thought was the dog would hate that hat. So it's like her birthday, and I'm celebrating by making her put something on her head that she doesn't want because it seems funny to me.
Yeah. That's the only thing that you can think of, too, is food, huh? She doesn't like to, she doesn't like to be brushed.
You know why she likes to be brushed? Because then she gets a treat afterwards. I am not even kidding you.
You just got a garbage disposal. You didn't even get a dog. You just got a garbage disposal.
Carrie bought this thing on the internet that's like called a de-shedder. And it's just, you know, one of many products that are pitched as the best way to kind of get loose fur off of your dog. And it's like this kind of wooden handled thing that just has a flat piece of metal that has some little like jag, the bottom of it sort of jagged. It doesn't hurt her, but it is very effective at getting the fur off of her. And if you pull that thing out of the like cabinet where we keep all of Rudy's stuff, she runs to a corner of the yard because she knows that she will get de-shedded and then she will get a treat after that's done.
Yeah, so it's all
just, I mean, that's how her brain works at all times.
Have you tried putting her on a fast?
Rudy, you and me, we're vegan now and we're intermittent fasting.
The Southpaw diet. That doesn't really
Hey, that's a pretty good, actually.
And really, I don't know, it's more of a...
I liked it.
Southpaw means a lefty, right? But then... South
yeah,
Beach,
but paw,
and then paw.
South Beach, paw.
Okay. I'm
also,
just
we don't know
about...
what hand Rudy is. I've been making That's her true. Bat right-handed because I just assumed she was a righty.
Oh,
but
see,
she might have been a lefty the whole time.
Wow, that would be. Maybe she can just bat from both sides of the plate.
I didn't even get to tell you about my beef with the friggin' Apple Store in Portland. Maybe I'll do that after. We thank these fine donors of the day.
Beef and apples.
Greg DeVore. What's that?
Beef and apples. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. Delicious combination on this fall day. Mm-hmm. I am very excited to make some quinoa soup with kale and potatoes tonight, Andrew.
Quinoa. Do you still have that? Oh, you can't play it because you're playing the music.
Yeah. Never mind. But I can do it. My Alec Baldwin singing quinoa.
Yeah.
I'll spare the listeners. It sounds like Bill Clinton. They know it. Greg DeVore of Redmond, Washington. Thanks for donating to the show. Also, Megan Garrett of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Kara Greenwalt of Seattle, Washington. Randy Grover of Bellevue, Washington. Home of Dr. Arakaki.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Tiffany and Joel Johnson of Vancouver, Washington. Beautiful town of Vancouver, Washington, home of the Elbow Room, one of the great dive bars in America. I've been there once, but it seemed good. Scott Rosen, also of Seattle, Washington, thanks to you. Scott, Joel, Tiffany, Randy, Kara, Megan, Greg. If it was your birthday, I would also bring you birthday treats and a hat and balloons, although you hopefully would enjoy that, unless you're like Andrew, who doesn't want any. You know, because I'm not good at remembering things about people who aren't me, I've actually re-forgotten your actual birthday, Andrew. I knew it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It could be today. Is it today?
It is. Let me look. It is not today. It is not today. Although I do
think... Oh, that makes me think we're close, though.
Randy, I could see you putting a fun birthday hat on Randy, taking a photo and sending it to Carrie.
Yeah. Maybe we'll do that. Randy, could you come over... Also, there's a lot of debris in the yard I need help picking up. Could you come do that? Then we'll put a birthday hat on you, take a picture, we'll send it to Carrie. Bob's your uncle. For reals, though, thank you so much for donating to TBTL. Thanks for making this possible. We wouldn't be here without you.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, real quick before we talk about the Sasquatch statue, I got so frustrated with the Apple Store in Portland yesterday, Andrew, that I was just like, y'all just lost a customer because I was going to go for a jog. It was very rainy, and I wanted to find out if they sold some kind of just like little plastic sleeve that goes over your Apple Watch. Because even though the Apple Watch is mostly water resistant, if it gets rained on a lot, it stops. It like kind of it just gets a little bit glitchy. Like it'll stop playing the music, or it'll stop tracking the miles correctly, and it'll keep telling you you have to. It's actually kind of ingenious, but the way that it gets water out of the Apple Watch is you unscrew the crown, right? The little kind of dial on the side.
Mm-hmm.
You unscrew it, and it opens up just enough to let water out of the watch.
Gosh, that could save somebody's life in the desert. Like you're at death's door as you're crawling Far Side cartoon style.
Yep.
And then you remember, I was wearing this watch in the rain. There's a drop of life in here.
That's right. And that's, by the way, my plan. I was ready to use that in Australia if we needed it, but we didn't, thankfully.
You didn't even tell me about
it. So I wanted, because I'm doing this stupid training, it's like I'm trying to run the precise amount of distance every day that I'm supposed to do. So I called the – I didn't want to go over to this Apple store, though, if they didn't sell some kind of a device or some kind of a, like a plasticky thing for this or for the kind of Apple Watch I have or whatever. So I called, and it's like a computer answers, and, you know, a very nice computer and a very friendly automated system. But it's like, you know, what do you need? And I was like, I need to find out if I have – I can understand full sentences. Okay, great. I need to find out if – do you sell Apple Watch waterproof cover? Is it a device that you need to talk about, or is it a blah, blah, blah? So I go through the whole tree, and then it's like, okay, I'll connect you with an agent. And then it's like I – here in the accent, and I don't mean like a person who sounded like English was their second language. The person who picks up the phone is clearly in like Texas. And I'm like, is this the Apple store in Portland? And they're like, I can tell that they're trained to not answer that question directly. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I'm an agent. I'd love to help you. And I was like, I'm Marge Simpson. And I was like, okay, I need to get... an Apple. I go, does the Apple store in Portland carry a waterproof cover for an Apple Watch? And I can hear the woman Googling from her spot in Texas, does the Apple store in Portland sell a waterproof cover for an Apple Watch? And I was like, and let me just mention, by the way, that I tried this automated thing three times to trying to get to a human before I got stuck talking to the lady in Texas, because I kept bailing on the call because I was like, I don't think it's going to connect me to somebody at the actual store. And sure enough, it wouldn't. And so when I finally let the whole thing play out, it was, in fact, somebody not at the location. And they were, in fact, just Googling it, which is what I could have done.
Yeah, that's frustrating. It is amazing. I mean, this is like the same version of a complaint that's been – you know, we could have had a version of this conversation in the 80s, too. But, it, I mean, it is amazing how far the technology has come that just helps companies avoid helping customers, especially via phone, right?
Well, they've made the decision that the calculation that having the actual Apple Store employees in those blue T-shirts, having one of them answer the phone and answer questions like, yeah, we do, it's over here. It's on, you know, it's on the right side of the store, up three shelves up. Having that person answer that question is not efficient because that person should be out roaming the, you know, the Apple store or whatever and helping people. So that's why they won't let me just talk to someone there. But I know that's who would know the answer. That because like if I walked over to the Apple store and went in, the person would go like, yeah, it's right here. Or no, we don't sell anything like that. What I know is that the lady in Texas, God bless her, is not. She doesn't know any more than I do about the Apple store. She appeared to know less. But fine, you're lost, Apple, because you know what I did, Andrew? I was very proud of this. I took that little baggie out that's in the ice bucket, and I borrowed some scissors from the front desk, and I cut it, and I made a modified little raincoat for my Apple Watch, and it totally worked.
The watch the watch was kind of usable if you needed to. I don't know how you use your watch. I assume in this case you're mostly using it as a fitness tracker, which is why you needed to have the watch on for your jog.
And music player.
Okay, so would you be able to switch a song or use it, or is it just kind of like by doing that you had to lock it in?
I was ready for it to just be locked in. Like I was ready to just – I have a playlist. I was ready to start the playlist and start the like jogging app and then just not even mess with the phone again. That would have been fine. But oddly enough, I was still able to control the phone with this. I'll send you a picture of it. It could be the show pick today. It's so janky looking. I was considering tweeting it at the Apple store going like, you guys just lost a customer because look what I invented.
Maybe they'd actually buy it off of you. And that would be the story,
exactly.
Right? They'd
acquire my company, Apple Store.
You know who would have given you that kind of treatment, by the way? I'm thinking about that in-store thing, and they're not around anymore because nobody appreciated them while they were here, but Radio Shack. You wanted the Radio Shack experience in an Apple store, and you're just not going to get that.
I like very, very long receipts, and I like people to constantly try to sell me batteries.
How do you feel about remote control cars?
That's strong to very strong. What is the deal? Are there any Radio Shacks left in America? Well, where do we leave that story?
The brand exists because they have like small little kiosks in some Sprint stores, I want to say, or you know, some sort of mobile stores. But no, they don't really exist as a standalone store anymore. So
this story out of North Carolina caught my attention. There was a landscaping company that had this 6-foot-tall, 180-pound Sasquatch statue. Interestingly enough, the landscaping company, I don't believe, had Sasquatch in its name. It wasn't like Sasquatch Landscaping. It was in Linville, North Carolina. I think they just thought it was a cool look. And somebody stole the statue. And it was gone for a long time. Like, it was gone for months. And then just the other day, they found it in the middle of the woods, like miles from anything, just sitting there. And like, what the part of the story that is crazy to me is, imagine being the guy who was deep in the North Carolina wilderness, and you look over and there's a freaking 6-foot-tall, 180-pound Sasquatch staring at you. That must have freaked the dude out.
Yeah, I wonder if he was carrying a gun. Because if so, there's probably some bullet holes in that thing right now.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of, whoever stole it probably thought, I don't know, maybe wasn't thinking about their end game. And they just, you said it was a cool look. And so somebody was like, hey, that's a cool look. We should take it. And they take it like, what are we going to do with it? Well, let's just put it way out in the woods somewhere. Maybe someday it'll scare somebody. You said how many years went by?
Not years, but I think it was a couple of months.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Actually, it was here. Well, here's what it was. It was long enough that the landscaping company filed an insurance claim and got a new Sasquatch statue.
Oh, man, that's an embarrassment of Sasquatch.
So now the Sasquatch statue technically belongs to the insurance company, but they don't know what to do with it. So it's at the police station where it's being guarded 24/7 by the North Carolina police.
So is your next sentence, Andrew, we got to get that as a joke? Like, you wanted to buy that Paul Bunyan? And by the way, did you end up seeing that Paul Bunyan at the Minnesota State Fair? We read in the newspaper last time we were in Minnesota, the State Fair was going on. We did a show from there. I thought it was a funny story about this giant Paul Bunyan made out of cardboard and things that they were auctioning off because it had served its purpose. And I thought it was just a funny story to talk about. And you said, well, we need to buy it, obviously. So are you applying the same logic to the Sasquatch? Do we now have to buy a Paul Bunyan and a Sasquatch?
I would take either, but honestly, the Sasquatch is pretty bitchin'. Did you? I don't know. I sent you a link to the picture or to the store. You can see a picture of this thing.
Let me take a look
here.
It's
a pretty cool statue. And it is kind of like, what's the insurance claim on that? And then where do you get the next one from? I guess just somebody is making these Sasquatch. It's surprise. I love that the landscaping company was like, you know what? You can steal our Sasquatch statue, but you'll never take our freedom. We're just going to file an insurance claim and get another one.
Like you say, where do you get that second one, though? You just go to the Sasquatch store?
Yeah. I get them on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. They'll deliver it in like 2 hours.
Yes, same day delivery on all Sasquatch orders.
Yeah. I already said this, but to me it's just like I'm imagining myself in the shoes of being somebody who's out in the wilderness. And you come around a corner and you look, and it's just like if you saw this Sasquatch statue in a mall or in front of a landscaping company, I think your brain would immediately interpret it's not a real thing. But you put me in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I see that. I am shitting bricks. Excuse me. Shitting rocks.
Okay. Thank you. Jeez. We have kids who listen to this.
That joke is directly ripped off from Christmas Vacation, by the way.
Oh, is it? No. I don't recognize it. Yeah, but I'm with you, though, because
the little girl. She's talking to Chevy Chase, and she says, him's shitting bricks. And then Chevy Chase says, we don't talk that way. I'm sorry, him's shitting rocks.
Is that the Randy Quaid character's daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, but I'm with you, because the thing, it kind of blends in. Is it made of, is it copper, or is that dark wood?
It looks like copper, some kind of metal.
Mm, yeah.
It's somewhere in between hyper realistic and like a total joke. Like, it's a friendly-looking Sasquatch, but I'm telling you, if I came around a corner in the woods and saw it, I would be freaked out.
I don't know if it's friendly look. I mean, it's got a furrowed brow. It's got, like, it looks like me when I'm trying to figure something out, which most people would not describe that as a friendly visage.
Hmm. Kind of a Harry and the Hendersons vibe?
Definitely a Harry and the Hendersons vibe. Yep. I used to live just like what, one block away from the Harry and the Hendersons house. I didn't watch that movie growing up. But then when I realized that we lived on the same street when we lived in Wallingford as that house, then I went back and I watched that movie. And it has your famous, is that your famous go on get scene? Or is it like kind of the,
it has, well, Van was the one who hipped me to that whole idea of the part of the movie that comes up so often where someone has to tell, it's usually an animal, but sometimes it's a person, to leave, even though they don't, secretly they don't want them to leave, but they got to try to get them out of there because they think it's for their own good. And it's called a go on get scene. The one that I will not play, not on this Friday, the one that I have never played it on the show and not cried is from The Champ with
right.
Ricky Schroeder and John Voight.
That's
the ultimate right. go on get. And that is, I mean, I know I'm just rehashing a conversation we've had many times over the years, but the fact that they didn't give Ricky Schroeder not just one Oscar, but a lifetime Oscar, which means every year we give Rick Schroeder a new Oscar for his performance in The Champ, in that scene alone, is bewildering to me. It's the best kid acting I've ever seen in my life, maybe save for the Olsen twins in certain episodes of Full House.
I am the cute one, or alternatively, gimme pizza. That always gave you the bad feeling, right? The Olsen twins singing.
Even you doing an impression of it gives me a bad feeling.
And then the slowed
down
version.
That's why I get mad about that Liberty commercial where the guy's in the witness protection program.
Yeah.
Any vocal processing like that immediately gives me a bad feeling. I feel like there's another commercial that's using it right now where, you know, they're going for the joke of like we're disguising the voice, but I think it's because I grew up with so much like devil talk, and that would be the voice they would give the devil in like, you know, a Carmen video, like The Champion or something. Like, so it must have just gotten really hardwired into my brain that it gives me a bad feeling even to this day when someone's getting that vocal processing going.
You know, I know it's a Friday, but I'm gonna talk to you about something serious here for just a second.
Okay.
Give me 14 seconds, okay? I'm going to tell you something that I've been sort of harboring for a while that I now think I have a better understanding of that I'd like to get off my chest. Do you remember, like, we like that guy who plays the fake Satanist. He puts together these news packages. He also plays a fake Arby's employee.
Notice me, Senpai.
The very first time we played that on the show, you weren't familiar with the video, and I just played, it was like dry intro tape of him, like, being the... being some weird Satanist, supposedly.
I believe there was a protest. There was something related to the Church of Satan in somewhere in Michigan, right? And he edited himself in as if he were on the street where the report was happening, and I was so blown away by him. Turns out he was in L.A., and he had just done a clever bit of editing, right?
Exactly. And then it turns out he's a comedian who does that as various characters, very hyper kind of characters. I remember you being really put off by that Satanist talk, and I remember being like, I felt like it was a really rare one. I think we talked about it on the show. You were just kind of like, I don't like that, and I thought you were being a little extra. I didn't have the word extra back then. That would come later, but I did. I would think about it. I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just kind of funny, and I really sort of attributed it to, well, it was a funny viral video, but you didn't see the video first. You were just introduced to it via the audio, and so then you didn't have the same experience with it that I did. But for some reason, because we so rarely disagree on things like that, that has always stuck in my mind. Now, why am I bringing it up right now? Because I just want to get things off my chest. But also, you must have heard of this book. It was really – I feel like it was on everybody's like coffee table – I don't know, like a year ago, Educated, the memoir by Tara Westover. Yep. You didn't end up reading that. I think we would have talked about it if you had, right?
No, I heard some interviews that she did. It's funny. Someone was getting on the airplane 2 days ago, and she had it under her arm. And I was like, oh, that's that book. She was in a kind of very like – similar evangelical homeschool environment in like Idaho, right?
Yeah. Now, I'm reading it now, and it's an incredibly good book. I mean, it's amazing, and it's a memoir. I was talking with another 10 about this on the Slack book club channel, and she said she didn't realize it was a memoir. She thought it was fiction for half the book, which I understand why. So Tara was raised I don't know, one of like eight children. I mean, the circumstances sound way more extreme, I think,
yes,
than yours, Luke. I want to make that clear. But she was raised in a survivalist, fundamentalist family that she now realizes that her dad probably suffered from bipolar, but basically suffered all kinds of abuse. Some of it intentional by older brothers, but also just like unintentional by being raised by these two parents who believed that the end of days were coming constantly. This was right on the heels of Ruby Ridge. They lived in Idaho. She didn't really know Ruby Ridge was even a national story. Like, she was just raised in just like kind of complete darkness in this family that was like super fundamentalist in ways. And now I'm in the part of the book, it's called Educated, I think we said that, I'm in the part of the book, spoiler, it's about her becoming educated, like becoming like kind of self, because she was supposedly homeschooled, except there was no homeschooling. But then when she realized she needed to get out of this family, she just started getting books from the library and textbooks and teaching herself trigonometry and stuff so that she could go to school. And then she goes to college as a young woman and hears about things like the Holocaust for the first time. Like, there's all these things in the world that she has zero context for, and she has to learn them as a young woman. And it is a fascinating story. But in reading this, I am understanding the kind of like, for her, especially kind of the PTSD that goes along with living in such extreme circumstances. Now, I don't want to say that you were raised and abused in the way that Tara was, but if there are any like similarities between being raised in a family where you're, I think I understand better what it means when you say you were raised fearing the end of days, that they were going to come at any moment. And I think about your parents. You know, you said you had that grain wheel in the basement. Like, there was prepping going on. And again, I mean, your parents are beautiful people. I've met them.
Because it was my parents,
them.
It was limited prepping. Like, it was not quite – because, like, we were still going to be pretty screwed.
Right.
But there was
But to live with that mindset and to grow up with that mindset. And so I've been thinking back to that and understanding a lot more why you have – as opposed to me just kind of being dismissive and thinking that, like, oh, Luke, just – come on, lighten up a little bit. I think I understand how these things can be a little bit more severe than I was giving him credit for.
Well, first of all, I forgive you.
Thank you.
And second of all, you're the king of the castle, and I'm the dirty rascal. Crash into me.
Right,
crash into
exactly.
me. You know, I was talking to
I do wonder if you would
Megan.
Like the book.
I'll just yeah. I you know what? God, I want to read this Jill Lepore book so bad right now. That's kind of she basically wrote a history of the United States. And I just love everything that Jill Lepore writes. And I realized, like, I can't I am so lucky to have the job of hosting Livewire. But the one downside is I have so much assigned reading between now and the end of December that it's going to be a long December, by the way. And there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last. But I was realizing, like, there are a lot of books out there, like Educated I want to read. I want to read the Jill Lepore book. And I just, like, I have to wait because I don't get to do any elective reading right now. But the thing I was going to say is that conversation that you were – or at least that kind of thing you were – that dynamic you were just talking about. I had a conversation with this woman, Megan Phelps Roper, who was on Livewire a couple weeks ago. And she grew up in that Westboro Baptist Church. And her granddad, Fred Phelps, founded it. And that was the people – those are still the people that go around with these horrible signs saying God hates and then a horrible – insult towards gay people, and they would show up at military funerals and all this stuff. And I was asking her, this is like backstage, kind of what was the most intense part, and she obviously isn't into that anymore, but she was like, the most intense part was thinking the world was going to end at all times. So I was like, yeah, me too. That was a very destabilizing thing for a kid if you basically tell them the world's probably going to end and we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but it's a good likelihood it'll happen. It's like, I know that, like, my parents legitimately believed it, so they weren't trying to be mean. They thought they were getting us ready for something, but it's like, that's a very intense thought as a kid. And I would, to any listeners out there who are currently telling their kids that we may be in the end times, I would say really consider the impact that might be having on your kids doing that.
All right, I know you know about TBTL the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL the newsletter? because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right. Before we get out of here, let's do some music for your weekend / Minnesota commiserating with our dear friend and blogger emeritus of the program, the Stewbot, is joining us right now from the Twin Cities. Hey, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, ass knobs. How's it going?
Is that taking off? Is that sweeping the nation?
I literally just got done listening to yesterday's show so I could be caught up on everything. And that was the one thing that stuck out was, of course, ass knobs.
I got it. That reminds me. I got a tweet from He Who Shall Not Be Mentioned yesterday, who was confused as to whether or not we were saying ass knobs or something that could be interpreted the same way. Let me see if I can find this. How else could you interpret that?
Let me ask you a question. Does that seem like a swear to you, or is it so silly that it's like, does that seem profane?
No, it sounds weird. I don't know. It can't be dirty. It's weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you said. It was bracing when I heard, I had forgotten already about that word in our lexicon. And then when you said it, I was like, ooh, but then I was like, eh?
I did look it up in Urban Dictionary because always whenever you think you're making up a word, you look it up.
Why would you do that?
But it turns out the only definition of in Urban Dictionary is basically how I wanted to use it. It's not especially gross or grody or whatever. It's just kind of like, yeah, a jerk. Hey, you stole my thing, ass knob. Oh, I see. They weren't sure if it was snob, if it was ass snob. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. Don't Google ass snob.
No,
don't do that.
Kids of America. Hey, Stu. Nope. So, first of all, condolences on your twins, man. I'm really sorry. That was rough. And I feel like I made it even worse because I was trying to be like, I was trying to will it into being that they could come back. And there's nothing worse than someone just saying the wrong thing when you're having sports sadness. Oh. So, sorry for you, bud.
Hey, it's no problem, man. I mean, how could you have anticipated that Major League Baseball is going to change the actual baseball for the playoffs? It's not like you knew that was coming.
Is that a real thing, or is that some truther stuff?
I feel like a QAnon guy talking about it, but by all of everything I've read, a ball is hit at a certain angle, at a certain miles per hour, people can measure that. And during the regular season, like, you know, it's hit like 102 miles per hour, launch angle, like 75 degrees or whatever. That's a home run. In the postseason, it's just like, you know, a warning track fly at best. And the stats are there for people who want to see them. And God, I sound like Pete Carroll, don't I? Mm-hmm. I just realized, yes, I should be talking about controlled demolitions.
Mm-hmm.
Friend of all of us, as far as fans of his work, David Roth has a really good piece in Deadspin today about this and how it connects to other baseball things. I would recommend everyone read that because since he's a really good writer, he's much better at explaining it than I am on a phone call from my wife's office in St. Paul, Minnesota.
You know, it's like I don't like, you know, the fact that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but I like David Roth taking him down so much. I wouldn't say it's worth it, but it's a silver lining to just Roth puts up, I mean, anything Dave Roth writes about, I'm into, but when he puts up another thing about like, this is, you know, what our big wet president wanted all along or whatever, I'm just like extremely there for it.
he's so good at it. It's his curse, is that he is blessed to be able to best writer in the world about Donald Trump. It's not a thing that I would want, but I'm glad he's there to do it.
Not to take us backwards, because I realize we left that conversation and you probably both wanted to leave it. But out of curiosity, though, what would be the argument why Major League Baseball would change a ball so that it's like fewer home runs during this? If anything, I would believe that they would move in a direction so they'd have a more exciting postseason.
To make me sad, Andrew, that is my
right.
just to of course. Make the punishment. I mean, the thing is, I think the Yankees, of course, are the team that just frickin' boat raced the Twins, and they've actually had a couple of hits in the postseason in their next series against the Astros, where they probably should have been home runs, and they've just been landing, you know, right in a outfielder's glove. I mean, it's all over the place, and it's, I mean, you change how you approach an at-bat if you know that, you know, you're going to try to hit a pop fly, so you try to get under it a little bit because that, you know, makes the ball go higher in the air. And if the ball's wound tighter, it's going to be a home run. But if the ball's a little more dead, I don't know if it's wound looser. I guess it would be if it's not wound tighter. It's just going to be a harmless pop fly. So that's kind of like the Twins set the Major League home run record, and all of a sudden when they got to the playoffs, there weren't any home runs anymore. It's really weird. And again, it's weird.
Is part of this theory, and it's so funny because I'm so not conspiracy theory oriented, but I would totally buy this because of the idea that Major League Baseball would much rather see the Yankees play in the World Series than the Twins because it's so much more money for them. The only reason that I believe in these sports conspiracy theories was back in the 90s when the Sonics were playing the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference Finals, and they literally, it was like the seventh game, I think, and they literally accidentally ran a promo, NBC did, that said, Sir Charles and the Suns take on Michael and the Bulls, and the game wasn't over. And I was like, F this. So I actually believe that if Major League Baseball thought there was something they could do that would, you know, both teams got to play with the same baseball, but it's worse for the Twins because the Twins' whole offensive approach was to mash home runs. If Major League Baseball thought there was a way they could put their thumb on the scale and help the Yankees have a slightly better chance, I believe they would do that just for the money they would make having the Yankees in the series.
Major League Baseball equipment director Tim Donaghy was not available for comment. That's a deep cut.
Seven
for
people got that joke.
Google that name, Mom, everybody. But yeah, it's a bummer, man. I'm over it now, but I mean, all these stories keep coming out, and it's like they're trying to trigger me back into being sad about it, and it's working. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, because it took on this bigger, and again, we've just met a bunch of really wonderful, beautiful, I would even say perfect listeners in New York. So peace and love to our New York listeners and people who are Yankees fans. You get to root for whatever baseball team you want, but it's like, to me, the idea of this like David and Goliath thing, you got Minneapolis, or you got the Twin Cities against New York. It's just like, you know, it feels to me like the I don't know. It just feels somehow like it felt worse to me than just a baseball team losing to another baseball team. It was just kind of like, can't the Minnesota team ever catch a break? And then I remembered, oh yeah, the Mariners are the only team to never go to the World Series. So I have to politely stop feeling bad for you, Stu, and start feeling bad for myself.
As you should. And we've got, it sounds like we got a bit of a tangle coming up here on the football side. I want to say 6 weeks from now, roughly, I think. We got a Vikings-Seahawks.
The Twins and Seahawks are playing?
Oh, that would be ugly. But yeah, that's coming down the line here, guys. So just keep that on your ledger.
I was looking at the Browns schedule. Sorry. And that's a Monday night. Oh, wow. That's going to be a Vikings-Seahawks Monday night game. Oh, yeah. That's exciting times.
Oof. And that is at Seattle, correct?
I
believe so.
I think so, yeah.
I don't like the sound of that, guys.
Do you think, Stu, not to keep it too much on the baseball topic, but do you think, like, the issue with Major League Baseball seems to be the fact that they don't have a very effective way of controlling how much money teams spend on their players. Therefore, you know, the Yankees, Dodgers, and Red Sox are traditionally, you know, at the sort of top of the pennant race because they can spend more money than everybody else. Like a team like the Twins, I mean, and maybe that's part of why it was exciting to see them get into the postseason because, you know, I don't know. They may the Twins are not going to be – any small market team is not going to be, like, perennially good year in and year out. You only get, like, one shot every 5 or 10 years of being kind of good. Do you think that this is just – unless Major League Baseball were to change the kind of rules, is it always just going to be those big teams and then every once in a blue moon Kansas City or the Twins or maybe – if we get a temperature check on hell, the Mariners going to the postseason?
Yes. Not to be just, yeah, yes, that's exactly how it's going to be until, I mean, you can't make the teams that are tanking, you know, that they're clearly not going to play the same game that the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Cubs and the Dodgers are. They're just going to try to keep salaries low, have, like, you know, young players on long contracts. And then once, you know, they're really good, they all go to the Yankees. They all go to the Cubs. And I don't know how you fix that without a salary cap. And I want to make sure, you know, the players deserve to get paid, obviously, much more than the guys that own the team. They're all just awful people who voted for Trump. And I just want to make sure that the players don't get screwed by any sort of capped situation because you see the in football, there is a cap. And salaries aren't even guaranteed, so that's not exactly a great position for the players either. But the product for the fans is maybe a little better because there's a little more competitive balance. You'll see those Twins-Royals years happen much more frequently. Like a team will just come out of nowhere. Like the Bears were god-awful for like 2 or 3 years, and then they were in the playoffs last year. So it's a series of contrasts, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let's focus on a
that's a good one though. That's a good power out. Let's focus on a more positive development in your life. You guys moved out of the I want to be nice here because they're fine. They're fine people on both sides that live in St. Cloud, Minnesota. But you guys moved out of St. Cloud into the actual Twin Cities. So you are no longer driving like an hour and a half each way to work. Congratulations.
I am not. It's got my anxiety is it's so low. I'm just it's so great. I can't endorse not driving enough. I'm going to be one of those weird evangelists for mass transit here, I think, because I take the choo-choo train into work every day now. It's great. I'm still the train ride to my work is about 20 minutes.
That's so the perfect amount of time.
It really is. I get at least half of a TBTL in every day. So I get a little Levitard in to top it off. So I get some podcasts still. And I don't want to kill anybody or myself when I'm done driving because you wouldn't notice it. Your stress level goes down because you're not battling some guy hauling a pontoon on I-94 for a half hour. It's really just... It's great. So, yeah, I live in downtown St. Paul, actually. Piper goes, her high school is downtown here. It's an arts high school. And, yeah, it's I live two blocks from the EPM mothership, actually.
What?
So if you need me to go endorse some checks or make a few business deals for you guys, I can just swing in there. I don't have my ID badge anymore, but, I mean, I look friendly, so I can probably just, you know, say, hey, Corey Schreppel, let me in. And he probably will. Mm-hmm.
Could you grab me a mini to mini? Maybe a mini to quarter inch splitter?
Well, I mean, I could do that. Maybe, like you know, make sure the IPDTL is working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah. If I have a problem.
Sometimes you just got to bang on it.
Yeah, exactly. Luke, by the way, totally Fonzied a speaker before our live show on the boat. We had these PA speakers that Eric, the Viking Stromstead, and the gang sent us for these live shows. And we had, you know, we were shipping them across the country. And when they arrived at the boat, I thought I heard some sort of a rattle in one of them. You know, when you play a speaker sometimes and it's got a bit of a rattle in there. And I was, you know, Luke, you probably saw me at a pretty high, you could tell that my stress levels were pretty high as the show was approaching and I was not getting quality sound from any of our options. And then you just Fonzied it. You just kind of hit the side of it a little bit and you're like, hey, and then it started playing Blue Suede Shoes.
And a Pepsi Cola came out. That was the most surprising part of the whole event. Well, because this is the thing, Andrew, you were stressed out because disproportionately the responsibility of like recording the shows, those live shows and you know, amplifying them so the crowd could hear, that disproportionately fell on you, which is to say 100% of it fell on you. And my limited understanding of how, like, speaker systems work, I was like, this speaker sounds kind of crunchy. There must be something crunchy in it. If I gently punch it a few times, it'll shake the crunchy thing loose. Mm-hmm. In history, that has worked, like, one time, and that was the time.
And the other one, I just drilled a tiny little hole in the top, and the demons just kind of floated out of the top, and then that one started working again, too. So I don't know.
That's right.
How do we become audio engineers?
Well, and Stu, congratulations on moving to the big city, man. That's really awesome. We're happy for you. I don't want to think about you waking up in St. Cloud on the day that the Twins were eliminated from the playoffs. That's not a healthy scene for our friend Stu.
No, it wasn't. It would not have been. So yeah, it was a little easier to take down. I didn't have to drive an hour and a half in the morning. It was very nice.
But now you're listening to, you're getting about 20 minutes of TBTL in your daily diet. That's well under doctor recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
But you still get that download, man. You still get that download. Mm-hmm.
But do you get these hot takes downloaded to your brain? The hot takes that really only come up about an hour and 12 minutes into the program, because that's where you're missing out, my friend.
I've got this little device that, like, either you guys mention my name or Andrew starts talking about garbage, so I make sure I get to those clips first, and then everything else
that's
is
smart.
Just kind of, you know, on demand.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. That's... Big, by the way, big garbage announcement coming in on Monday. So everybody tune
really?
In for real. There
so you're gonna make us wait until Monday?
We have several insiders with some inside intel that I will be sharing with you. Yeah.
Speaking of
an actual garbage insider, is his name Oscar?
Your twins. He's really grumpy.
Your twins' conspiracy theory, Stu, has nothing on what's been going on with Andrew and this whole. It's like, I mean, honestly, it's turning into season 6 of The Wire.
I met a guy in an empty parking garage. I don't have a name, but he just said, follow the garbage. And that's exactly what I've been doing.
Do you have a show title yet? Because that one probably
is good.
Yeah, follow the garbage. I like that one. Hey, Stu, since you know everything about music, do you have a music for your weekend? Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's start with Andrew. Let's end with yours, Stu, because I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be better than me and Andrew's, because you know more about music than almost anybody who listens to the show and are often chiming in with dazzling deets about various bands. I mean, again, primarily, let's go upper Midwest on this. Would you call that your sweet spot?
That is my sweet spot. Yes.
Okay. Well, could you help me with my music then? Because here's the deal, Stubot. I woke up this morning with that panicked feeling that a student has when they realize they haven't prepared their homework. I didn't have a music for your weekend ready to go. But I do this thing. When I come across a song that might be good future music for your weekend, I email it to myself. And right now, I have two songs in my email. One that I emailed myself a couple of weeks ago. One from August. But I don't know anything about these bands. All I know is at one point I listened to them and I thought, ooh, I like this song. I'll use it as music for your weekend at some point. But I was wondering if you could give me the background on either one of these bands, and I'll choose based on your knowledge. Are you familiar with the band Twin Peaks or the musician Caribou?
I know their names, but I do not know the bands that well. Twin Peaks, I know more than Caribou, just because they also have the name of a TV show that I watched.
Okay, cool. Well, then
but
this
I will go with the Twin Peaks one.
Okay, well then I don't know much about them. This is a band; they're called Twin Peaks. This song is Fairy Song, and I think it came out just last month. Let's take a listen.
Getting hard to keep walking with those phrases on repeat. Sure as high times in summer, only to heartache in fall. If I get over that river, babe, I'll run blind through it all. Since
So I've gleaned that they're from Chicago. I know that. They formed in 2010, and that's all I know. Twin Peaks.
You know that I am drinking from a coffee cup right now, Andrew, that says Tweedy's Cafe, home of Twin Peaks.
Oh, wait.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's weird, man.
That's the little cafe over there in North Bend, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I am drinking coffee randomly from a coffee cup from the Twin Peaks. What is it? That's some damn fine pie or whatever.
Yeah.
Fine coffee. Fine coffee.
Well, did they shoot exteriors for Twin Peaks there? This is a little town about, what, like 40 minutes east of us here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
That was meant to be.
It's really called Tweedy's Cafe, and that's a band from Chicago.
It's Tweedes.
Oh,
so however you would pronounce that, Tweeds. Some people say Tweeds out here. I'm gonna go. Okay. I'll try to go more Tweedy with it, as I often do. Hey, can I tell you guys a long, boring story about how I arrived at the music for your weekend that I want to suggest?
Please pull an Andrew.
Sure.
There is this Maradona, like Diego Maradona documentary that's on HBO right now that I got obsessed with. I just like, I kind of missed the whole I wasn't like a soccer fan in my youth per se. So I knew there was some guy named Diego Maradona, but I didn't really actually understand how crazy his career was and his fame and the hand of God goal and all this stuff. And, and then
he
I watched
the Emerson Fittipaldi of soccer.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. So I watched this documentary, and then I got kind of obsessed with Maradona, and I started watching YouTube videos of Maradona best goals. And like, then because Maradona was like kind of a mess. I mean, he was an amazing soccer player, but he had drug problems and personal, you know, problems and stuff. Yeah. He also would just show up in these weird things like severely overweight playing futsal, like, which is this kind of like version of soccer, but it's on a smaller like indoor course and you have a smaller ball. I know it's not called a course, but so on one of these weird videos deep in the bowels of YouTube, I'm watching like Maradona juggling a soccer ball. The song that someone put to it was called Neapolitan Dreams by a singer named Lisa Mitchell. She's from Australia. This is an old song. The one that was in the Maradona video was called the Nilo Remix, N-I-L-O-W Remix. But guess what? I don't like that version as much as I like the original song, Neapolitan Dreams, by Lisa Mitchell. This appears to be some sort of pop music. She's sort of the Natalie Imbruglia of Australia, which is funny because Natalie Imbruglia is from Australia. But she appears to just be a pop singer in Australia who had this big hit song called Neapolitan Dreams, which I quite enjoyed. So could that be? Could we play a little bit of that, Andrew?
Yeah, and I think I've got it here. I'm going to play this.
Now just imagine Maradona as a little kid is juggling a soccer ball somewhere in Argentina while this is playing underneath it.
All I have is the Tiësto Birthday Celebration remix. Is that okay?
Do you have the John Legend remix?
Oh, yes, Stubot. If you listen to this full show and don't just fast forward to your part, you are in for a headache as I try to tell the difference between who are the four characters. I'm trying to tell the difference between John Legend, Ryan Adams, and John, who's the other, Mayer.
Mayer.
Yeah. So
yeah. This is only a spoiler for you, Stu, because you're the only person on the show right now who hasn't heard the show yet. But there was a moment where Andrew, we were talking about Ryan Adams. I was talking about Ryan Adams, and he was like, is that the same as the guy married to Chrissy Teigen? And I meant, you meant John Legend? He was confusing John Legend and Ryan Adams, which I found to be pretty unexpected.
Oh, Andrew.
Pretty unexpected. Oh, Andrew. All right, let's listen to Neapolitan Dreams.
I'll be okay. I can dream the rest away. It's just a little touch of fate. It'll be okay. It sure takes its precious time, but it's got rights and so have I. I turn my head up to the sky. I focus one thought at a time. I do not let the little thieves under my tightly bound sleep. It couldn't be a longer time. I feel like I'm walking blind. I have no arrival time. There are no legible signs. There are no legible signs.
this indicate that I'm officially a twee person, that I hear this kind of music and I totally like its vibration?
Belle and Sebastian thought that was kind of twee.
Too twee for me. No, I love this. I love this so much. This reminds me of the stuff I was kind of listening to. I guess it was around the time this came out. Yeah, this is 2009. I don't know. I feel like there's a period in when I was living in New Hampshire where I was getting a lot of music kind of in the mail from various record labels and stuff, and I would really fall for anything that had this kind of sound to it. Like a Jessica Hoop was another person around that time that I love.
How old did you say the song was?
It's pretty old.
2009 is when this one came out.
Yeah. I can forward you some Maradona videos, Andrew, and
please do.
A whole new world of soundtracks will open to you.
I'm into this a lot.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I felt a little sheepish. It was either going to be that or this very kind of mellow Kate Le Bon song that they were playing on Alaska Airlines today. Like, literally, I got on the plane. I'm waiting for it to take off, and they're playing a song called Home to You by Kate Le Bon, which is a beautiful but very artsy song, and I was like, props, Alaska Airlines. I don't know what mood this is putting everyone in, but good job. All right. Stu, what have you selected for your music for your weekend offering?
Well, let me get settled in here. This is not an upper Midwestern alternative rock band from the 80s, but it is a band that seems to have that as a base of education. The name of the band is The Paranoid Style.
Okay.
They're out of Washington, D.C. They're led by a woman named Elizabeth Nelson. She is really good, definitely influenced by that era of like indie and college rock. The name of this song is The Peculiar Case of the Human Song Generator. And it's basically a song about the band that They Might Be Giants. If you've ever heard, I know everyone's heard of They Might Be Giants. It's basically a love letter to that band. And she even actually starts singing a little bit of Anna Eng in the middle of it, and that's what really got it stuck in my head, because that's a really catchy song to begin with, and then she put a rock song around it, and it's fantastic. It's, I think, that or Sturgill Simpson. It's my favorite record of the year. The name of the album is called A Goddamn Impossible Way of Life, which is probably what making this type of music in 2019 is for a living.
I feel like you've uttered those words in my presence multiple times, Stu.
I probably have. And actually, I raved about this song on Twitter, and actually she reached out to me via the DMs and saw that I had a Minnesota sports podcast, available on most podcast providers.
I'll cut it all out later, don't worry.
She is a since she's in D.C., she's a Washington sports fan, and she's a went through the Kirk Cousins experience when he was on the R Words. So she sympathized with me for that and just thanked me for loving up the band a little bit. So
nice.
This is my way of paying that. This is my way of paying that forward by hopefully getting a few more earballs on this, because it's a fantastic song. It's a fantastic record. It's only like a half hour long. There's a song about Rammstein on there, but it doesn't sound like Rammstein. So it's good.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, I highly recommend this record to anybody.
This is very, I'll tell you, like a They Might Be Giants reference. That's very in the wheelhouse of the TBTL listeners. So everybody go check out this band, The Paranoid Style. I also had the thought, there's been a real missed comedic opportunity on this show. The many times we've discussed They Might Be Giants. If you've written a song about the nuclear process of the sun, you might be a giant.
Oh, no. All right, Stu, you got it from here. I'm leaving.
That was either the strongest end to the week of broadcasting we've ever had, or the weakest.
All right, somebody's got to ask it. Can you do it again in Clinton's voice? That's all I want.
If you've written a song about putting a birdhouse in your soul, you might be a giant.
Oh, God.
Oh, totally worth it.
Okay, well, do you have the song queued up?
I got
there,
it ready
Andrew?
To go. I can't wait to hit play.
Beauty. All right, well, Stu, thanks for checking in with us. We miss
you. Thank you for
calling. We're glad we'll take 20 minutes of your of your brain space 5 days a week, if that's all we can get, that's fine. We just know you love Lebatard more than us. And honestly, I don't blame you because I love Lebatard more than us.
You're always going to be the first ass knobs in my heart, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Ooh, that's also kind of a show title.
Kind
of. All right. Well, listen, thanks, everybody, for listening this week. Thanks for being part of TBTL. We'll be back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, enjoy your weekend. Go Seahawks, go Browns, go Vikes. Go eat
Thank
a bagel,
you.
And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
And DK Metcalf.
The man.
Don't see Carson Venue, sponsored by Barna, and I got their sampler. Some of the bands you heard here, Kid Cudi, Rush, Brian Dwan, Freddie Johnston. My favorite song was Nightgown of the Southern Moon. It showed up.
Power out.
Did I kill it right before your favorite part, Stu?
You sure did.